I sometimes, with classical music or opera, I don't ever know when to come in without being disrespectful to the music as well, because there's always a little bit of culture that you feel like you should allow it to.
How can you to play stop out, this?
Where's the chorus? I need. I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
And joining us on the line right now is the lady whose voice you hear there, Paulette Penzvalto. Good morning, Paulette. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Good morning. It's so good to speak to you.
So is there any good place there, Paulette, for us to, fade that out, or should we just play the whole 4 minutes of it?
I think with opera, 4 minutes is considered a soundbite.
I know. That's pretty cool. Well, listen, just a little bit about Paulette. Lived in Avon for a while, worked here as a part-time newscaster, yet had dreams of moving to New York City, working there, singing opera. And Paulette, your dreams have come true.
Yeah, they absolutely have. It's actually really good to hear it that way. I never thought about it. But I'm very happy, and I'm so excited to come back home and to perform for my hometown and to support an important organization, the Dream Days organization. I'm going to be performing with Opera Pertuti at the Cherry Blossom Ball, the Akron Civic Theater, on May 8th.
What is the Dream Day benefit?
The Dream Days benefit, it's called the Cherry Blossom Ball. Dream Days is a not-for-profit organization. They're dedicated to organizing events for individuals with developmental and physical disabilities and other chronic conditions. And they basically, they organize events around the dreams of these individuals. So whether it's to go and, hit a baseball at Jake's, or, the Progressive Field, is it now?
Yeah.
That shows my, so they go down to Progressive Field and they get to meet the Cleveland Indians players, or, they have a spa day for the young women. I saw a wonderful event on their website. They had some women with Down syndrome, and they had a really exciting event for them. And I actually work for a developmental and intellectual disabilities advocacy organization here in New York called YAI. So this is really one of my passions. So I'm really excited to be marrying my passion for opera and my passion for disability advocacy with this event.
Even back in the day when you were here with us, you were very socially involved. Where does that come from?
The social involvement. I think my whole family has always been very passionate about being involved in the community. I learned a lot from both my mother and my father. My mother always encouraged me to sing in a civic manner. My dad always would visit. He has a construction company, Penzvalto Construction, and he would oftentimes, if he was working for someone who wasn't well or having a hard time, he would always go out of his way to stop by and check on them, and even after the job was done. So they really instilled a sense of civic responsibility in me. And I also took part in the Miss America organization, and I had a platform, Hospice, which really, I think, was a springboard for my future civic involvement as well.
We're talking today with Paulette Penzvalto, who is coming to a benefit May 8th, the Cherry Blossom Ball at the Akron Civic Center. She's a Northeast Ohio native, returning back home. Tell me a little bit about your path, just briefly, about when was it as a young lady you decided opera is a passion, something more than just sort of a hobby, in a sense, that this was something that you really felt you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, absolutely. I studied privately at Baldwin Wallace with Norma Cotes Botti since I was 14 years old. And I remember seeing on the wall of Baldwin Wallace there was an ad for an opera company in Italy. And I think I loved to sing, but when I realized that I could travel internationally and that I could really, I think that was the first moment that I realized this could be something really interesting. I enjoyed the singing, but also bringing it to a wider audience. And I have traveled internationally. I've traveled to 14 countries across Europe, America, Central America, performing, and it's been a really wonderful ride.
You mentioned about bringing opera to a wider audience. In the last decade, 20 years, or even probably the last decade or so, it seems to be that way. The opera singers that we see out there are not ones that we thought of. We think of Beverly Sills, maybe some of the older grand dames of opera, but the face of female opera has changed quite a bit, I think. There's a lot of more, I guess, performance and maybe attitude towards it that hadn't been there.
Yeah,
in the past.
That's absolutely accurate. I think if you think about the medium of opera and how much it's really changed and transitioned over the years, and really especially considering technology and how that's evolved, I mean, now you can go onto your computer and with, you know, a couple of clicks of a mouse, you can see somebody like Maria Callas perform one of the great arias, or you can go down to your local movie theater and see a live performance of an opera from the Metropolitan Opera, which, you know, I've been to the Metropolitan Opera, and I have to say the live broadcast is sometimes more rewarding than even being there in person, because they do so much wonderful work in terms of presenting the context of the opera, and, you know, you get so much that you know, you never historically would have been able to access in the past. But also, I think that individuals, the opera singers that I know now, are really... they are tremendously remarkable people, and they have composite careers. I mean, it's no secret that the arts have been really challenged economically. So I think that most of those opera singers that I know, that I went to the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and I'm a proud Bearcat, and most of my colleagues are just incredibly remarkable people who have taken on the challenge of this economic climate by... In response to it, they have created their own opera companies. They're writing their own music. They're producing their own productions. It's really quite impressive and exciting to be a part of opera, even though it's a little bit challenging. You know, it's really remarkable to see these people just stand up and take ownership of this art form in a way that I don't think I've ever seen done in the past.
Well, like any art form, it continues, evolves, and it sort of fits into whatever is happening in the culture to that time to keep it moving forward. Sometimes it fades to the background. Sometimes it comes out more
right
in the front.
That's a very salient point.
As you're performing opera, and many people, it's because most of the time opera is done in a different language.
Mm-hmm,
and,
absolutely.
And so many times people don't really know the language itself, but yet they can feel the emotion of the song. How are you able to do that, considering many times you're standing still, there isn't a lot of what, you know, to look at? It's more listening to. How have you, through the time, and what is the technique that really gets the emotion out of the songs?
That's a very good question. My goodness. I'll try to be succinct, but essentially I think it's two elements. One would be your performance practice. That would be essentially the interpretation, the development of the character, essentially deciding what is the action in this moment or this scene of this piece? And then acting that. I mean, you know, you don't necessarily have to speak the language to know what someone is trying to get across. If somebody has a very clear action, you know, or if a baby's crying, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's easy to tell, oh, they're hungry. Or just because their action is so loud and clear, or an individual who doesn't speak the right language, you know, is saying, you know, they're trying to get across, you know, I need something, or, you know, that's very clear. But then secondarily to that would be language, and I'm a linguist, so I've got about 6 or 7 languages that I've really focused on throughout the course of my career, and translating, and not only translating, but understanding the context of the language and the meaning, the true meaning, and then you also would study the background of the opera, and ultimately, hopefully, all of that comes across in the end product. So that, you know, you're standing on stage and you're performing, but ultimately you're feeling the core of that emotion. So it shouldn't necessarily matter whether the person speaks the language, is a native speaker, or is an experienced opera goer. You should really be able to get the feeling across.
Paulette, when you perform on Thursday night at the Cherry Blossom Ball at the Akron Civic Center, what do you have planned?
Well, we have a couple of things planned. We're going to be doing some selections, some Carmen, Tales of Hoffmann, the Lakmé duet, which is a big favorite with Opera per Tutti. Andrea Anelli is a good friend and actually performed with my mother at Cleveland Opera some time ago. So we are very excited to work together again. This is my 4th season with them. And I'll be singing O Mio Babbino Caro, which is a Puccini favorite. And tickets are still available. They're going fast, but if you are interested in tickets, you can either go to the dreamdaysohio.org website, or you can go to my website, which is paulettepensvalto.com. You can basically find that information on either website, and it's at Akron Civic Center.
So, Paulette, I'm looking on social media out there. I see you have a Pinterest page, and unless there's another Paulette Penzvalta who's an opera singer, it, sometimes it happens. It
says I do.
What's that?
I said I do. Oh, I have a wonderful publicist, and I've got more social media than I ever thought I would have in my entire life.
It says here, it says opera singer, administrator, explorer, naturalist, activist, journalist, and banjoist.
Absolutely.
I need to know just a little bit about that.
I was performing out in Des Moines, Iowa, actually, a couple of summers there with the Des Moines Metro Opera, and they have a fantastic bluegrass festival. And I fell in love with it, and I picked it up, and I've just been playing with it ever since. I recently actually also purchased a guitar, so now you can add guitarist, I think.
Wow.
But it's more of an amateur hobbyist, but I really enjoy expressing myself through other musical means as well.
Now, we're talking about a five-string banjo, right?
Five-string bluegrass. Back up to the country picking style banjo.
Now, I'm assuming as an opera singer and a performer, I see you with those beautiful gowns, you probably have beautiful nails. Explain how you can have good nails and still be able to handle the banjo with the...
you actually wear picks on your fingers, so it's not really an issue. Classical guitar would be the one you would consider. Actually, they have some of the nicest nails on the planet.
That's true. That's part of their career.
Know.
They have
the
to do that.
Classical guitarist.
You know, Paulette, Bruce plays banjo as well, and I've been trying for 2 years to get him to bring that banjo in the studio and play. So here's the deal. Next time you're in these parts of the woods, you bring your banjo in, and you and Bruce can have your dueling banjos.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good, too. Right. Well, you know, I know that, you know, Bella Fleck takes the banjo to a whole different level. He creates all sorts of crazy, you know, different type of genres and all that. So maybe we can combine, you know, a little bit
That's what I'd like to do ultimately, some cross-genre work.
Well, that just keeps yourself, sort of in, you know, as a hobby and whatever, just keeps you musically in tune with all that's going on. Well, Paulette, we appreciate your time this morning, and good luck with the performance coming up on May 8th over at the Akron Civic Center. Again, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. I hope everyone will come out and see it. Take care. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.